Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The Outfitter is our title today. John 21:1-14 is our text. As we go through, we're looking at this text in John, and as we look at this, if we look at John's recording of things, we have him recording two previous appearances to all of the disciples, or the large group of the 12, or the 11 gathered together. One was on resurrection night, so the evening of that day when he rose again, and the other one was a week later. And we looked at that last week, actually, last Sunday morning. And as we looked at that, we also saw that the end of that text that we looked at, that is just prior to our text for today, we have John giving us basically a summary of the purpose of his book, of writing this life of Jesus, the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And he tells us that all of these things that he wrote, from the beginning all the way to the end of the book, all of that that he wrote was that for us to be able to have faith in Christ, to see that he is the Son of God, and that we can believe and have life in his name. That's his purpose. Then that kind of wraps up the main purpose of the book. But we have one more chapter, and that's what we're getting into today. And so, there's some debate among scholars. Some will say, well, this was tacked on at the end later, and maybe somebody else added this, or maybe John added this, kind of thinking, oh, I should include that as well. But really, I think there's probably a purpose for John including this in this portion, after he's completed the main portion, the story of Jesus, the goal of directing us to him so that we can have faith. Then we end up with this chapter. And in this chapter, we find Jesus then meeting his disciples and sending them out and directing them, in effect, to take this message that's in the first 20 chapters and take that out to the world in a different way than we find him doing that as the other writers depict it. And so that's the goal here. There's a purpose in this. John doesn't record here for us that Jesus, when he found them in Jerusalem, when he saw them in Jerusalem, he said, go to Galilee. Go to Galilee, and I will meet you there. And he's going to give them further instruction in Galilee. And so that's where we find them. We find them now in Galilee, waiting for him. They're waiting for him to give instruction. And so as we get to our text today, keep that in mind. That's where this is set. The disciples in Galilee waiting for Jesus. Our text is John 21:1-14. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning. John 21:1-14, reading in Jesus' name. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us. Thank you for this interaction between Jesus and his disciples. And I ask that you would guide us this morning as we consider what this has for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite the kids to come up, maybe on this side over here. And then I've got some others helping me, and I have to give them some stage directions. So, because we didn't get the chance to go over it earlier. So the youth that are coming up, I have some playing the parts of Jesus. They can come up over here for right now, or the disciples, and whoever's playing Jesus can come up over here to this side and have a seat over there for now. Okay, all right. Did you guys notice what we have up front here again? The fishing boat again, right? I was going to put it in recycling after the last time, and then I kept it a couple weeks, and then I realized, wait a second, we're going to go fishing again, so I might as well keep it. So here we are. okay, nobody's in it right now. Where were the disciples right now at this point? Where were they? Do you know?
Nowhere.
Do you know where they were? Nowhere. They weren't in here. They weren't in the boat. They were by the Sea of Galilee. They were waiting, and Peter said something. Do you guys remember what Peter said?
No.
No? Okay, he's going to say it now. Oh, and what did somebody else say? What did the other say? Who's saying it? We'll go with you. That's it. There we go. Okay. So they're going with. Great. Okay. So these guys can come in the boat now. They're coming down to the boat to go fishing. All right. It's a little chaotic. I meant to send them a message earlier, you know, a couple days ago to say, hey, guys, this is what, and then I kept forgetting until like 11 at night. So, anyway. All right. So, they're in the boat. They're fishing again. Did they catch any fish? No. Are you beginning to think that these guys are bad fishermen? Because last time they didn't catch any fish either, but I'm guessing maybe this is the only two times they didn't catch any fish, maybe. All right. They have their nets out. They're catching fish. And then we have all of a sudden, Jesus is on shore. Okay, so he's over there. What did he ask them? Do you guys remember?
Have you got any fish?
Okay, that's what he asked, right?
Haven't you caught any fish?
Oh. What was the answer?
No.
No. Right? Makes sense. They didn't catch any fish. All right. So then, what did Jesus tell them? Do you remember?
Throw your net on the right side.
Is that what he said? Hey, good job remembering. All right. So then what happened when they threw them on the right side of the boat? Is this the right side of the boat? I don't know. Is it the other? Okay, there we go. They're throwing them on the other side there.
They caught 150 fish.
153?
No,
153 fish. Hey, good job, guys. You're listening. All right. So they caught fish, and then one of them said something. Because did they recognize that it was Jesus talking to them?
No,
they didn't. I don't know why, but they didn't. So then what happened? One of them, who's John here? All right, okay, what did he say? Let's see.
It is the Lord.
Wait, who did you say it to, though?
It is the Lord.
Yeah, there we go. He said to Peter. All right. And what did he do? What did he do? Do you guys know? Tell me, what did he do? What did Peter do when he heard that? He did what? He jumped in the water. And he made his way all the way to shore. Now, actually, if you want to come this way, and you can come over this way a little bit. And these guys came in. Yeah, he's probably swimming, right? He's probably swimming. Okay. All right. So they made their way into shore, right? They made their way into shore. And then what did they do? You guys can look this way. You guys can come over this way a little bit because we'll have some conversation over here now. All right. So they came into shore. They've got everything wrapped up. They all come out of the boat, and then Jesus said something else to them. What did he say? You guys remember? Okay, let's hear.
Bring some of the fish you just caught.
Okay, so Peter went over and got some, right? He's going to get some. And that's when they counted the fish, apparently. Oh, all right, you've got some too. There are the fish. All right, we got paper fish. Nice, tasty. All right, so we've got the fish there. And then but what did Jesus have already on shore? What did he have? What did he have?
Bread.
He had bread. And what else?
And fish.
Yeah, he was already cooking some fish and some bread. He had it ready. And then what did Jesus say to them?
Come and have breakfast.
All right. So they joined him for breakfast. All right. All right, well, thanks for the kind of on-the-spot acting out of the story. I'm going to get you guys a little piece of paper that you can take with that shows them having breakfast together, if you'd like one of those. So, all right, thanks for coming up here. I'll have you hand some out, and you could hand some out. All right. All right, could you hand some out? All right, come on out. The fishing is done, I think. Oh, we caught all the fish, all 53. There were only 153 in the lake, so that was it. There's more? Oh, okay. Well, thanks for coming up, guys. You can head back to your seats. All right. Everybody got one, maybe? All right. Well, why don't you see if those guys need some still? Yeah. There's a couple more over there. They might need some. And you can keep the others. All right. Well, thanks to the youth for working that out as we went along here this morning. That was great. Well, as we think about, this account here, I want to think about it in the context here of, the purpose that God has given to the church and how God sends us out as a church into the world. And so the purpose that God has given to the church is really to spread the good news. Spread the gospel, right? Tell people about Jesus. We have many different roles that we play in life. Each one of us has different roles that we play in life. But for all of us as his church, that's really one of the main things that we do. In fact, I would say probably it's the main thing that we do that is in the midst of everything else that we do. It's always there. It's always there is this call to tell people the good news of Jesus. Now, the question that I have along with that is, do we always know what that looks like specifically? Do we always know how each one of us is to reach out and tell people about Jesus? Well, the answer is no, we don't always know that. God doesn't give us each individual instructions to go here, go there, talk to that person. So sometimes it's helpful to have some principles. And in many places in the Gospels, we have different principles that God gives us. And we see some of those really in today's text. As we find the disciples going out to fish, encountering Jesus, and then having conversation with him, and the way that he interacts with them, and how this plays out for them, it tells us something about us and about how we live our lives and serve God. The disciples now were waiting for Jesus. So as we find them in the text, they're waiting for Jesus. They're following his instruction. They followed his instruction to go to Galilee. They go back to this place that was familiar to them. It was where they spent a lot of time with Jesus. And so they went back there. And as they're waiting for Jesus, as far as we know, he didn't give them a lot of more instruction. We don't know. In the Gospels, it just says, go to Galilee and I'll meet you there. Right? That's all it says. So whether he told them a little bit more or not, we don't know. But they're there and they're waiting. And so what to do while they're waiting? Well, some of them were fishermen. So it was a natural thing to say, hey, we're not doing anything else right now. Let's go out and go fishing. This is something familiar to them. Now, some might say this was them kind of leaving, following Jesus, and they didn't know what to do now. So they just were going back to their old way of life of fishing. Maybe, but not necessarily. It may have simply, in fact, it might have simply been something that was familiar to them. And so to pass the time, they went out to do this work. Yeah, they probably needed something to eat too, right? So it made sense to go do some work, get something to eat. So they went fishing. Five of them are named here. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, and then James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And then there are two others that aren't named here, so we don't know who those other two are. But these seven went out to fish. Peter said, I'm going out fishing. And the other said, yeah, well, we'll join you. We'll go with you. Might as well, right? So they go out there, and they went out to fish, and as we found in another case, they caught no fish. Now, we already heard, we went through it twice, right? As I read it, and as we acted it out, the kids acted it out here, the youth did, acted out that story. So we've already kind of been through this story twice this morning. So we know what happens going ahead. So before we get into the details, we might ask the question, what is this whole episode getting at? even, you know, John wrote earlier, as we saw last week, there are many other things that Jesus did that aren't recorded. So obviously the things that are recorded for us have a purpose. And we might ask the question, what purpose is being served by telling us this particular story? What is it getting at? And one of the things that we see is, as we know that Jesus appears later, and through his action, through his word, and they follow it, through all of that, their boat is filled with fish. But before that, it's empty. They haven't caught anything. So knowing where this story is going, we might pull out of this and understand that without Jesus, the net is empty. No fish are caught. We are empty without Jesus. All of our different activities in life are empty without Jesus. Whether that's our own lives individually, whether that is the activities that we do together as a church, all of these things, even maybe with good intent, if they don't have Jesus in them, then they are empty. We might try different things, whether it's in our individual lives or as a church, that might be well thought out. They might be great ideas. They might seem to make sense. But if they are done without Jesus, it is all really empty. So that's what we find, first of all. And that, I think, we can apply to our lives. We're not going to go out on the lake fishing the way they did as we're waiting for Jesus. Some might go fishing to enjoy that activity. As I've mentioned before, I will take a book and join those who are going out fishing and enjoy my book. But, of course, this is not about fishing. This is about going out in life and serving God. So now, as we've established that this applies even to us, this idea that without Jesus, our activities are just empty. Now, Jesus comes on the scene. It's early in the morning. He's standing on the shore. The disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. Where does he come from? Well, it doesn't say. Why didn't they realize? Why didn't they recognize him? And maybe it was foggy. Some might say that. Maybe it was foggy. Maybe it was the dim light of dawn. The text doesn't say why they didn't recognize him. We find this a little bit in after his resurrection of a little bit of sometimes they recognized him, sometimes they didn't. Why didn't he? Well, it doesn't really tell us. But they didn't recognize him right away. But he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you caught any fish?" Now, we find out later that he's about 100 yards from shore. So we think about, it's easy in my mind to think of a football field. He's about a football field away. That's how far out they are in the water. And about 100 yards from shore. And, he's yelling out to them, "Do you have anything? Have you caught any fish?" And they answer, no, we haven't. As we look at this episode from the outside, we're looking at what's happening here. They still don't recognize that this is Jesus talking. But as we're looking at it from the outside, we do. So maybe as we're looking at this and we say, all right, Jesus is interacting with them. The nets are empty. Jesus is asking them about the fish and they respond, they don't have any. What is Jesus going to do here? This might be of interest to us. What will Jesus do now that they have responded that they have no fish? We might apply this to and think about this in ministry, in the work of the church, in as we live out our lives. Are there times in our lives where we have the response, at least at first appearances, we say, we haven't caught anything. It's not really going as we expected. I can think of a time in life I was walking back to a car along, my sister-in-law, but at the time they weren't married yet, but Shauna was walking towards the same car from a different direction. We had been out passing out flyers. We both were part of a team of about 12 young adults that were at this church in Chandler, Arizona as a church plant. And so we were, we walked back, we had just finished handing out flyers door to door, just leaving them in the door. We didn't really knock on the doors or ring doorbells. We just wanted to let people know about an activity that was going on. And actually, this was the last group, the last set of, 200 houses, as we went out to hand those out together, we came back to the car, and Shauna was excited. She said, "We finished it. We finished all of them. All 10,000 houses." Like, we hadn't done all 10,000 just now, but different groups going out had finished 10,000. And she was excited as well, because our goal for each activity that we did was to do this twice. 10,000 houses, two times for every activity. We had five different activities through the course of the year. So you think about how many flyers we handed out. That was a lot of flyers. And this was the first time that we actually got to all the houses twice with flyers for the activity. And she was excited. I was excited too. We finished this. And now here's the thing. As I think about this and I think about the activity, we had people show up for some of our activities. And it was exciting. We had some mainly kind of different festivals through the afternoon, a couple hours long, like a carnival type of thing. So we had that going on. And we had people show up. And we had a few that showed up for our kids' club. And eventually there were, it started picking up steam. We had a few more families attending on a regular basis. Not a lot, but a few. And then, but it was slow going. And eventually, actually, the church has kind of petered out in a little bit. And I might think about that and say, it feels like in some ways that the nets were empty. Like, we were thinking, okay, there's some fish coming in, great, but then they kind of swam away again, you might say, swam out of the net. And we thought, it feels like it's empty. Was it empty? I don't know. It's hard to judge, isn't it? It's hard to know. It's hard to know. But when we look, so when we're in the middle of it, we might not even always be able to tell, are the nets empty or not? But we might be curious. What is God going to do? What is Jesus going to do? I would like to know, and I maybe will someday, what are all of the things that God did through that church that was in existence for a period of time, a couple decades, and then kind of petered out? There might be still a little bit of a group going on there. I'm not sure. But I think God did a lot of things through that. I don't know for sure, but I think God did a lot of things through that extended out. Even when the nets are seemingly empty, then maybe they're not quite. But we might ask, what is God going to do? Jesus' response to his disciples was, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some fish." Now, I would ask the question, why did they listen to him? They didn't know it was Jesus. They know their business. Who is this guy? We know it's Jesus, though. That's significant for us as we're reading the story of what happened. Whatever the reason is, they listened to him, and they threw their nets in one more time. And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of how full it was, the large number of fish. Now, in thinking, well, he said the right side of the boat, did that matter? Some might say, well, Jesus got a glimpse of fish, and so he said, "Well, throw it in over there, there's fish over there." Or maybe it was a different side. No, none of that really makes sense. What really makes sense is this was a miracle, just like the other time he did it, right? This was a miracle. It's just a plain old miracle. The recognition on the part of the disciples is somewhat slow, but it finally arrives. And the disciple whom Jesus loved, that we understand to be John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." It's Jesus. The other disciple was quick to speak as he recognized, but Peter is quick to act, and we recognize him as being kind of impulsive. And as soon as he heard it, he wrapped himself up. Maybe he had just untied his clothing, maybe he had it off, but he put it on or tied it up so he could get going, and he jumped into the water. And I'm imagining he had to swim. I 100 yards out, I don't know how shallow it was out 100 yards out. I imagine he had to swim some of that. And I don't know if I would have done that. Like, let's just get the boat in there, right? But he jumped in and went in as fast as he could to get to shore when he found that it was Jesus. The others followed, towing the net in. They couldn't bring it into the boat. They had to just tow the net behind, and they got it down now into shore. Now, also I want to bring out, some will say, well, this is just the same story as earlier that we read, that we found at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, but, the disciples have adapted it for their own purposes. The skeptics will say that. But even though it resembles the other one, I think we can surely say that it is not the same story. These are different times where Jesus did a very similar thing. A very similar thing. Not the same story, but it is related. In that case, the nets were breaking. The other boat came to help them out. There are two boats, and they helped out. They brought in the... here the nets didn't break, but they had to tie the fish, tow the fish behind the boat as they brought it in to shore. The lesson that we have and that we saw here, that we find here, as I said, is without Jesus, our activities are empty. Without Jesus, the net is empty. But with Jesus, the net is full. As we think about that as it applies to ministry, success comes when Jesus brings it in the way that he determines. Even if we think about the example that I mentioned from Arizona, from Chandler, as, you know, I think, I felt like in some ways that the nets were empty, but I don't really know. I don't really know. The nets may have been full, more full than I thought they were at that time. Success comes when Jesus brings it and in the way that he determines to bring it. This time was different for the fishermen than it was the other time. The way they brought in the fish was different. Jesus had a different thing that he was doing in each case. Well, there's a little bit more for them to learn, a little bit more for us to learn here. They all made it into shore eventually, and when they got there, there was a fire of coals burning with fish and bread already on it. Jesus already had some things prepared. Now, the first thing he said was, bring some of the fish that you caught. Peter climbed back in. He dragged the net to the shore, and it was full of large fish, 153. And before you ask the question, in studying it, I think the reality that we find is there's really no significance in that number. 153 is not code for something. It's just a lot of large fish. And it's just a real number that the disciples actually counted. And this is a real story. It's a lot of fish. There might have even been other smaller ones in there. But the amazement of the disciples was that the net wasn't torn. They caught this many fish, but the net wasn't torn. Even that part of it was provided by Jesus. Now, Jesus was already cooking fish. We find that there were already fish on that fire. Why did he have them go get some of the fish? Maybe they needed more, but I feel like if Jesus had the fish there already, did he really not plan for all that he needed? That doesn't necessarily sound right. Unless he wanted to teach something. And as Peter went back to the net, he found the number of fish. He was able to reflect on how many fish were there. Breakfast was ready for them then. And here's one of my favorite Bible verses, John 21:12. Come and have breakfast. You can use that every morning. If you want to quote a Bible verse, just use that one every morning. Come and have breakfast. Well, at this point, they all knew who this was. And they're learning in this his will for them. And, you know, John records, they didn't ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. They, not just in seeing him, but in seeing what he was doing, they knew. Jesus offered them breakfast. He gave them some bread. He gave them some fish. Probably what he already had there, not really what they brought in. But now John tells us, this is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. At least as a group. This was the third time. Now, there is some conversation that follows. If you've read further in this chapter, you know that Jesus has conversation with them, talks to Peter. We talk about him reinstating Peter because he had denied him three times. So that happens. But this verse here that concludes this reading seems to separate this off as if this story just by itself is teaching us something besides what the conversation is that follows. So we might ask the question, what did they learn here? In addition to what we've seen about Jesus filling their nets, so with Jesus, it's full. Success happens with him. Also, you know, the other time that he did this miracle, a miracle very similar to this, he had called them to follow him. Now that's a change, and he sends them out. And the lesson that we're learning here is that it is still Jesus who is the one who calls and sends, and it is still Jesus that is the one who provides. Last time, with the hired men around, the disciples left their nets and followed him. They left everything. This time, apparently, there's nobody else around. And as we see them counting up the fish, in all likelihood, they did something with those fish, and that was provision that God had given them for the work to do, to begin that work. And Jesus also provided breakfast for them. So as we think about Jesus being the outfitter, as I put that title on the sermon here, Jesus not only is the one who provides success to what we do, but he is the one who is the outfitter, who gives us and provides us with everything we need to serve him. As we work in this life, without Jesus, everything that we do is empty. With Jesus, everything that we do is full. It's full. Whether we notice it or not, it's full. And it's Jesus who provides for the work itself. Both the provisions and the success come from Jesus. Now, we don't, of course, sit around idly. But we also don't rely on ourselves. Jesus invites us to follow him. He invites us to do that when he tells us to throw out our nets, to do what he is inviting us to do, to step out courageously, to go where he sends us, to speak as he gives us to speak, and then he will provide the results. And we can trust him in that as our outfitter. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your provision. Thank you that both our ministry and the success that comes through it, whatever it may be, even if it's just through conversations with neighbors or friends in life, that all of that comes from you and that you provide what we need. Help us to trust that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.